Matthew 26, 26, we find the narrative saying, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body." The breaking of the bread, this is the first of several, perhaps a dozen, specific references to the breaking of bread in the New Testament. And just the sheer repetition made me want to think through this. Each time it's mentioned, it is reminding the participants of Christ's sacrificial death. This is one of those things we don't want to forget. He has built within, we have so few actual rituals in the New Testament. The world loves rituals. They'd rather just do the rituals and don't have to think about anything. But our rituals are for the purpose of illustrating a truth to actually think about. And one of those is the Lord's Supper, the other being baptism. But it reminds us, it focuses right back on the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Paul, well, of course, was not present at the Last Supper, but he had evidently received a very special revelation about it. And this, I think, particularly as he was, his job was to start churches and to organize them and put them in proper working order. And so I think particularly the revelation came to him about what Christ did and how it should be then observed in the church. 1 Corinthians 11, 23-24, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." And what is it that he's talking about? That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And of course, in the same way, the drinking of the cup recalled to them his shed blood. It's always just a fascinating thing, the Lord's Supper, where we, you know, the fact that the bread and the cup are there don't necessarily do you any good. The fact that Christ did this great sacrifice, paid this great penalty, doesn't necessarily do you any good. What has to happen is that you have to take that bread. You have to choose to take the bread. You have to choose to take the cup. And in choosing it, then something rather amazing happens. As you take it within you, it actually comes in, it becomes a part of you. You merge with it, can I say it that way? And whatever strength, whatever vitamins you can get from that, you are benefited only when you take it into yourself. And so it is with Christ, the Christ sacrifice. It is one thing to know that it happened. It's another thing to choose to receive it. But how much more wonderful, instead of just holding it out here, looking at it, holding it out here, examining it intellectually, just to take it in, to let it become a part of you, for you to be enriched by it. So the drinking of the breaking of the bread, his broken body, the drinking of the cup, his shed blood. You think about those grapes whose life is forfeit and their life liquid broken out, you see. All of this helped them remember and appreciate the great reality of eternal life imparted to them through his death. Jesus said this in John 6:54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." Now, he was standing there in front of them, you know, not whacking off chunks of flesh and filling up cups of blood. He was speaking symbolically. This happened back in John 6. And he says, "And I will raise him up at the last day." So for a while, This important ritual seemed to be done every day, according to Acts 2:46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, so they met every day, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And the breaking of bread seems to be a separate thing from eating their meat or eating their food. The word meat there just means food. So they met daily in the temple. They would go home and they would celebrate as part of their church work the Lord's Supper. Sometime later, they seem to have settled into the formula of meeting one day a week. So Acts 20, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, Sunday, when the disciples came together to break bread, the whole service seemed to be announced by the breaking of bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So long preaching is also quite early. According to the Bible, and you check it through, there's no specific instruction in the Scripture how often we are to do this. We are just told that whenever you do it this way. And what we have done, as I mentioned, I think last time we had it, to avoid the idea that this is some essential ritual of salvation, we don't do it every Sunday. To avoid the idea that it's not important, we don't do it, like once a year, twice a year, four times a year. We do it once a month. We have sort of considered that to be a happy medium in the thing there. What we want to focus on in the Lord's Supper is that whenever it's observed, the actions that we go through are discerning the Lord's body. We recognize that while we're handling bread and fruit of the vine, grape juice, what we're doing is dealing with them as symbols of the very broken body and the very shed blood of Christ. And in that, we are discerning the Lord's body. We're giving thanks to Him for His sacrifice for us. And to enter into that holy a work, for the symbols that God gives us of holy things are themselves holy. So we come in worship. We come humbly bowing before Him. We come admitting our sins, confessing our sins. So judging ourselves is actually more important than the physical eating of the bread. In 1 Corinthians 11:29 and then 31, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, the word meaning simply judgment, not damnation to hell, but judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In fact, he's going to say elsewhere in chapter 11 what that judgment comprises of is judgment in this life, sickness, weakness, even death. And then in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And so as we try to emphasize each time, that's what we do. But I wanted to remind us how important this was in the early church, how we ought not to take it for granted or do it haphazardly. Comments or questions?